Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. Today I want to talk about something that affects us all to some degree, and this is the monster of guilt. This has been my biggest pain since I was a child, and I want to share some of my personal experience with you today, and also how to work with guilt to lessen the load. But first, let's celebrate. I know we're still in the holidays period, and we just passed New Year, so Happy New Year to you all listening in. But I want to celebrate something else entirely today. I want to celebrate you. Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast has been live for just over 6 months now, and it has been streamed over 60 countries so far, which is mind-blowing for me. And it's counting a strong over 1,000 listens per week, even during the holidays. And none of this would be possible without you. So I want to celebrate you. And also I want to thank you, first of all, for doing this work, for taking time to heal and to go deep in, even when it feels scary, challenging, and super uncomfortable to do so. This is such important work. When you heal yourself, you're healing the entire planet, really. When you declare that you've had enough of all the pain and you choose to devote yourself to your heart, you're breaking the cycle of pain, not only for yourself, but also for the future generations. You are doing it all for yourself, of course, and you so deserve to do that, but you're also doing it for the collective. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for that. I also want to thank you for sharing this podcast, as I know you do, with other women who you feel might need to hear this. There's no way this podcast could grow this quick without your shares. And this means a lot to me personally, of course. But I also want to channel to you the appreciation of all those women who are benefiting from having found this information thanks to you. Thanks to your shares. So keep sharing. Keep reaching out to sisters who need this. You never know how much that can mean in the life of someone. I want to share with you a little example from my own life, as I still remember each and every person who shared a resource with me that created a shift in my life, and I am forever grateful. So you can be that person for someone too. But I remember in particular being in a very bad place when I was in my late teens. There was so much going on with my mother at the time. She was living away, like in a different country, but we still fought a lot. She didn't approve my choice of college. She didn't approve my boyfriend at the time. And after some serious violent outbursts from her when we were together for the summer, I stopped talking to her for 1 year. It was really intense. Really, really intense. I missed her, and I had never been as confused in my whole entire life. She was my center. She was, despite everything, the person I needed the most. That's how I felt. That's how she had me feeling. And being without her for that year was really, really tough. And at that time, a person who had been in my life for years but never once interfered offered me a hand. This person was my father's partner, who has since passed away, but will forever be in my heart. She listened to me, as she often did, and then she said, "I go to this yoga class. Why don't you come with me next Monday?" You know, such a simple, simple offering, but I did. And her sharing this with me, sharing this experience with me, you know, coming to me to my first ever yoga class, gave me the courage I needed to take the first step and change my life. That experience kickstarted my healing journey when I was, I was 18 at the time, one that is still ongoing. That one outstretched hand led me here now. So one simple share of a link can literally mean the life to a person who receives it at the right time for them. I wanted to share this with you. So thank you, and thank you. And keep on sharing. You are the fuel for this community to grow and to reach so many who need the support right now. So that's my intention for this new cycle, this new year that is starting to reach as many women who need this support right now, as many as possible, and to share this information and the support that is available to as many as possible. I don't have a target number. I don't work like that. But I just want to reach as many as possible. And I can't do it alone. So your support, you listening in, you sharing, leaving reviews, comments, all of that really supports this vision that I have. And that is so, so, so important to my heart. So thank you again. And with that said, let's talk about guilt. The topic of today. How often do you feel guilty where your mother is concerned? This can be if you don't answer a message she sent you, or if you don't have time to call her, or if you wanted to go somewhere else this weekend but she wants you to visit her. And or it can go all the way if you want to go no contact or feel guilty about it. Or maybe you have gone no contact and still feel guilty about it. You might feel guilty about even having thoughts about your mother that are not nice, and nice put in inverted brackets, as in thinking that she's not a good person or that you don't actually love her as you should love your mother, and such and such. A lot of guilt can come from that, just from the simple thoughts. Before we go deeper into this, I want to share with you an email I received during the week from a lady who reached out. This is her second email to me, and she was happy for me to share it with you. To give some context, in the first email, she recounted how the relationship with her mother practically ended after her mother yelled at her and her husband before deciding to give her daughter the silent treatment. So the mother yelled at them, and then the mother decided to go no contact, which happens. The silent treatment, we get that. That's a punishment, isn't it? When we've been bad. But that's not the topic of today. So let's keep going. So the only contact that they've had since then have been rare visits to the grandchildren. So we addressed that, and I answered to that first email, and then I received a second email from this woman, and I wanted to share this with you because this email is on the topic of guilt, and it's, yeah, I think it's helpful to hear some first-hand experience from someone that is not me. So I'm gonna read this email. Hi Mathilde, Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for writing me back, and I'm so sorry it took me so long to write back. It is funny that you talk about guilt. I think that guilt is now a constant part of my life. Constant regrets, searching in my mind what I could have acted differently on many occasions before the big fight that ended it all. Perhaps if I was more assertive and knew how to set boundaries before, but I was like a blind, addicted, manipulated person who acted on instinct. See, I'm the only child. My mother was a single mother, so the burden feels even heavier. I feel like I am taking her heart out because she doesn't get to see the grandkids and me anymore. My husband doesn't exist in her world anymore. She doesn't see us as a separate family unit. She sees me as her extension, and that has always been this way. I saw an email from you about the covert narcissist mother, and that is my mother. You describe it so well. I was also raised by my grandparents, both of whom were narcissists. My mother left Poland every other year to go to work in the US, leaving me with them. Also, my mother's both brothers fall into that spectrum as well. It is only recently that I came to realize that this is the case. Only now that I discovered that term and was able to somehow pinpoint what I have witnessed my whole life but didn't know how to name it. After listening to this podcast last night, I see a whole spectrum of her behavior, from covert to visibly abusive and sometimes physically abusive as well. I blocked my phone before Christmas for the first time in 7 years. I was terrified before doing so. My heart heavy with guilt, fear and regrets. But what is done, and I hope to get some sort of peace as time goes by. Thank you for speaking about this and sharing your experiences. This makes it more authentic for the daughters of these mothers. It is a lonely and confusing existence. And that's the email. And thank you again for sharing this with me and with everyone in the audience. As always, this is such powerful support for so many. So thank you. And I get it. It is a lonely and confusing existence when we don't know And we feel like this is just happening to us. Like for so long, I felt this was just my experience. I didn't realize there was a world out there of women that felt the same, that have been through very similar experiences and that could relate with how I felt. There's like this social taboo about talking about your mother other than in a loving way, you know, and expressing that you don't get on with her, expressing that you're not talking to your mother or things like that. We spoke about that before in this podcast. That can be such a big thing. So the loneliness is really a big thing. And so I really hear you on that. So that's why sharing this and sharing your experience with other women makes it, you know, it just allows us to connect together through this experience. So thank you. So in the email, guilt is mentioned as a constant part of her life. The feeling that is still there, despite recognizing all the traits in the mother's behavior. So despite learning about covert narcissism, vulnerable narcissism, and for other women, this can be narcissism in general. So despite recognizing all these traits, there's still this guilt that's still there. The regret, the feeling that if you behaved better, if you knew more, if you were a better person even, things could have been different. The lovely woman mentions that if she could have just been more assertive, maybe setting better boundaries, things could have played out differently. And she says about herself that she was blind, addicted, and manipulated. But and that is that at times we are blind to the behaviors of our mothers. We are addicted to our mother's presence in our life, and she makes sure of that because she wants, like as this woman mentions, you're an extension of her. You're not a separate family unit. You're not even a separate person. You don't have your own identity. You are completely part of her. You're an extension of her. And she wants to keep it that way. So she has to keep you addicted. And how does she do that? She only gives you love when you behave the way she wants. She gives you that little bit and then she takes it away. So you want more. There's like this game that is played that keeps you stuck in the cycle and manipulated. But that's not your fault. So here it's expressed as if it was a fault. You know, I was blind, addicted, and manipulated, so I couldn't see it, so I couldn't behave better, so I couldn't fix things. Well, it's not your fault. As if there was anything that you could have done to avoid all of that. But there isn't. And I get it that you feel that way. And I know I'm not the only one here feeling that way. We've all felt this way at some point or another, and we might still feel that way very often, that if we only could go back and do things different, if we only could learn different things, if we only were better people, we wouldn't be in this situation with our mothers. Because we still take on the fault. A child can't actually see its parents as faulty. Okay, that's again survival. We need to see them as incredible, perfect beings, and we just shoulder everything onto our own shoulders. Like the fault is ours. By like how many times you hear parents divorce and the child takes responsibility, it becomes responsible. It feels like it's his or her fault if the parents have divorced or if they fight or if they're unhappy. Because the child does that, because we need to see parents as these impeccable, amazing beings so that we can stay attached to them and learn from them. And a narcissistic mother just reinforces that, and we're going to see how that works. How many times do we shoulder all the responsibility of our mother's behavior? How many times do we take on the guilt that she's projecting at us? Because all this guilt that we're feeling is actually the guilt that it's in her undealt, but she doesn't deal with, and she projects at us, puts it on us. How many times do we feel it's our fault? What is our fault? Everything. It's when you look at it from a rational perspective, it makes no sense, of course. But that's not the point. That is just what's happening within. We do feel we're at fault for everything that happens. Every time my mother gave me the silent treatment, I felt like it was my fault. every time she got upset about something, either that I did or that someone else's did, it didn't even matter. She was upset. It was my fault. I believed her when she said I should have known better, even when I was a child. I believed her when she said that I should have done better. And I was also raised mostly by my grandparents, like it's mentioned in the email. My grandmother in particular is a vulnerable narcissist. My granddad is more grandiose. I was, and still am, very attached to my grandmother, and her victim behavior has deeply affected me from a very young age. Actually, most of the guilt that I feel comes from my grandmother and her vulnerable narcissism. There is also a lot of my mother in that. She's done her part for sure in different ways. And it resulted in me feeling guilty all the time. I felt guilty if I wanted to go out for dinner with friends. I felt guilty as a child when I went to my dad's house. My parents divorced when I was very, very little. So I always had this thing of there was my mother and grandmother house and then there was my dad's house. And I lived with my mother and grandmother, but I was going to my father on Saturdays. And I loved going to my dad's, and I felt guilty for loving that, as if I was choosing him over her, over them for that afternoon. I felt guilty if I wanted to buy my own clothes instead of letting my grandmother choose him, or my mother. There were so many things that I loved, items of clothes that I loved, and my mother hated them, and I felt guilty. And so I changed. I felt guilty even when other members of the family made my grandmother cry, which was often. I felt guilty when she was alone, which was often. So I felt guilty all the time. And guilt is still there for me. So I want to say that and share that with you, because it's just, I don't want to say that, oh, it doesn't go away. But it's still, that pattern can still get triggered. Okay, still there. I've done a lot of work. And yet it still comes up, okay? So that's just to say that if you're feeling this, that's nothing wrong with you. That's just, we're going to look into it now and see how we've been trained into this. I want to give you an example as to how, again, sharing from my life experience, how guilt and that regret, that feeling that if I had known better, things could have been different, has really affected my life. So when my eldest daughter was born 13 years ago, we lived with my grandmother. We had a small portion of the house, like an apartment attached to her house. And I still felt guilty that she was upstairs alone. So I ended up neglecting my little baby and my partner to spend time with my grandmother, because, you know, there's always this, and it sounds terrible when you say it, but that's just how it was. She behaved in ways that triggered that guilt. Since I was a child, I've witnessed that. I've witnessed all of those systems to guilt trip everyone in my family to do what she wanted, and I was still manipulated by that. And when my mother moved in, so thankfully she wasn't in from the beginning, but eventually she came back and she moved in as well. So I was living with my baby and my husband, but I also had my mother and grandmother within the same house. And things got worse as the two of them would fight all the time. The relationship is horrendous. And I felt more guilt and more need to be the peacemaker, the one that they could all talk to. So my mother could talk to me, my grandmother could talk to me, the two of them couldn't talk to each other. But if I kept talking and interacting with both of them, I could somehow maintain some kind of peace. This was coming at the expenses of my relationship with my husband, which was going to shit. And obviously I wasn't spending any time with my little baby. And at this point, my mother took over the business myself and my partner had created. She took over the house and bit by bit dismantled all we had built, to the point that I was put in front of a choice. I had to leave. It was either I was destroying my marriage and my little child, or I was, you know, staying with my mother and grandmother Or I was leaving them and betraying them. So that guilt, it was like a real internal battle. It was it, like looking back now, I know I made the only decision, but at the time, this literally tore me apart. It was like the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And I felt guilty for having left. And for years, I felt like I could have done better. I felt like if I had learned to set boundaries, if I had learned more about myself, if I had behaved differently, if I was a different person and such, I could have done better and maybe things could have been better. When I learned about maternal narcissism, more so I felt that if I knew all of it back then, I could have made a difference. As if me setting some boundaries would have changed the destructive behavior of my mother. As if me setting some boundaries would have stopped my grandmother from, I don't know, faking illnesses or lying on the floor when I wanted to go out the door to stop me. It wouldn't. I can tell you for a fact, after a lot of long and hard consideration and work on this and like going really deep, it wouldn't have made a difference in their behavior, not one bit. All of it would not have changed a thing. The only difference that it would have made is this: I would have left a lot earlier. If I actually had known, and this is not like to feed the regret, but it's just to let you know that the more you do this work, you don't become more tolerant to their shit. You actually become more allergic to it because you start loving yourself to such a point that you really start going, okay, no, this is not acceptable. This is really hurting me, and I don't deserve to be hurt like that. That starts happening. So, in actual fact, you just don't tolerate it anymore. So, the reason I'm sharing this with you is to let you know that I get how crushing the feeling of guilt is. It really has been like my biggest pain. And I get that you might feel you could have done it differently. But the thing is, you have done your absolute best in every moment with the tools and awareness you had in each moment. I truly want you to hear this. You've always done your best in each and every moment. There is nothing to look back and go, oh, I could have done it better. No way, because you didn't know. You didn't have the awareness. You didn't have the tools. So you've done your absolute best with what you had in those moments. Now you're learning new skills. You're learning different tools. You are getting new information. So now you can do different from this point on. Yes. Absolutely. But that doesn't mean anything about the past. The past is you've done your best in every single moment with the awareness you had in that moment. That's really, really important. Now let's have a look as to why we feel all this guilt all the time. So what is guilt? Guilt is the emotion that tells us, it's that uncomfortable feeling that tells us we've done something wrong. And I want to put the word wrong in inverted brackets because the whole right and wrong thing, I don't really like going there. But something that we need to change, a behavior that is not on and we need to change. And it's connected to empathy. So, like, I give you a very simple example, but I think one is very clear. If I step on my cat's tail by accident, okay, I feel bad about it for a moment. I am connecting to the fact that it must have been painful for my cat. I stepped on its tail. Okay? So I'm going to change my behavior because that uncomfortable feeling makes me want to change my behavior. As in, I'm going to try to be more careful in the future not to cause pain again to my cat by stepping on her tail. Empathy towards my cat makes me feel uncomfortable in the moment I caused her pain. Okay? But what about feeling guilty all the time? Even when we have done nothing wrong at all. You know, being busy with your baby, for example, and not ringing your mother every day is not wrong. Wanting to go out with friends, like in my teenage days, even if my grandmother was alone, is not wrong. Wanting to go to my dad's on Saturdays was not wrong. And yet guilt was there. Wanting to spend Christmas, for example, with your new family, with your children and your partner instead of your mother is not wrong, and yet guilt is there. Wanting to do what you would like for your birthday, for example, is not wrong, and yet guilt is there. And the list can go on and on, and I'm sure we all have plenty of examples about this from our own personal life. I'm sure if I asked 100 women, there'd be 100 women giving me different examples of how guilt plays out in their life, what they want to do different and they feel guilty about. And to start healing, we need to understand a few things about how this guilt started in our life. This consistent guilt, this constant guilt, even when we have done nothing obviously wrong. Okay, so a narcissistic mother is needy and does not care for the needs of her child. It is all about her own needs. This is important to understand. So from a very young age, you were taught to repress your needs and to be responsible for the needs of your mother. It's an inverted relationship. Okay, it's your mother. It's a mother should, in a world of a perfect relationship, be all about her baby, you know, be nourishing and be loving towards her child unconditionally. Yeah, mother love is unconditional by definition, but this is not how it works with a narcissistic mother, and the relationship is inverted, and you end up being responsible for the needs of your mother with no boundaries, because she doesn't do boundaries. Remember, narcissists do not do well with boundaries. So she teaches you from a very young age, no boundaries, just do whatever is necessary to satisfy the emotional needs of your mother in order to get loved and a little bit of attention from her. That little bit that keeps you addicted, yeah? Because she does give a little bit in some way, shape or form. And that's just to keep you in the loop. If she was a vulnerable narcissist, meaning she was more the victim type, then you might end up feeling completely responsible for her from a very young age. If, like the lady that sent the email, you are an only child, you might feel this burden even more. But I want to say that like being an only child, I know that is a story I hear very often. Oh, you know, I'm an only child, so it's all on my shoulders. And I can tell you that even if you're not an only child, it's still is all on your shoulders. You're a narcissistic mother finds a way to make you feel like that. I am not an only child. I have a lovely sister. That didn't ease it one bit, as both my mother and grandmother never failed to remind me that I was the most responsible one, the one they wanted around, the one that had to take care of it all, the one they got on with, the chosen one. Which is not only horrible from my sister's experience, of course, and very unfair, as she's a wonderful woman, but it makes the burden on my shoulders enormous, as you can imagine, because I am the one. And if I remove myself, if I leave, if I go out, it doesn't matter that there's another person there. I am the one. So if I go, it's all my fault and I'm a bad person. So even if you're not an only child, a narcissistic mother finds ways to make you feel responsible anyways. And this is not to just diminish the whole only child thing, but it's just to say that it's not that much worse. It's really like it can be just as bad if you have siblings, because the dynamics are they can be the same. Also, a narcissistic mother never fails to remind you outright or in a more passive aggressive way of your faults. So training you to take the blame for everything, to feel shame about your behavior even when there's nothing wrong in what you're doing. So this results in self-loathing, low self-esteem, constant feeling guilty about everything that happens, all the way to feel responsible for the abuse, okay? Your mother, a narcissistic mother, can say things such as, I would be a lovely mother, but you make me do this. You're such a bad child that I have no choice but to yell at you, for example. I don't like punishing you, but you leave me no choice. So these are just few examples. And you end up feeling responsible for the abuse. Your mother is justified in treating you like she does because you are bad. If you could just learn to be different, she would not behave like that. And if you have siblings that your mother treat her better than you, then that belief is reinforced. So you see how it can get twisted. And you get from this happens from a very, very, very young age. And it's just given you consistently from a very young age. You are bad, therefore I need to behave badly towards you. I'm justified, you're bad. If you only could be better, things would be different. And then you're growing up, and then you wonder when you're 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 why you're like crushed with guilt. And not just when it comes down to your mother, but in many aspects of your life, because it spreads. And you wonder why that is. And that's where it comes from. Another aspect to it is that you might be hypervigilant to your mother's emotional state. You know, if your mother was more obvious an abuser, like violent, a grandiose narcissist, you become hypervigilant to protect yourself. Like I remember I had to always keep tab on how she was feeling, because, you know, she could yell at me, she could go crazy. I could say one word and one day it would be fine, and I could say the exact same thing the next day and it could be like hell breaking loose in the house. So there's like this constant hypervigilant to her emotional state, which I then transferred in being hypervigilant to the emotional state of everyone around me. If she was more vulnerable narcissist, she trained you to be responsible for her emotional state. So you become hypervigilant about her emotional state so you can fix it for her. And even go as far as prevent her from feeling bad. You're one step ahead, constantly, making sure everything is arranged in a way that she's not going to feel bad. She still is going to feel bad, but you're going to just do everything. And the thing is, you can never truly cater for her needs. That is actually something really important to understand. You can never truly care for her needs, because she doesn't even know what those needs truly are. She just wants attention and validation, but she never did any work to heal. So it's a never-ending story, and you can never make her happy. Never. There's no way. And guilt tripping is one of the ways a narcissistic mother controls her daughter, keeping on triggering the feeling of guilt to get the attention she wants. That guilt is like the glue that keeps you in that relationship. Even when you start wanting to break free, even when you start wanting to set boundaries, even when you start seeing things for what they are, that guilt keeps you bonded, keeps you stuck in there. And the more we can understand this mechanism, the more we can break free from it. At the end of the email that I just shared with you, this amazing woman shares that she blocked her phone for the first time. She set a very definite boundary. And I want to take a moment to acknowledge and honor the courage it takes to do that, despite the feeling of guilt that is clearly omnipresent. And I also get the hope of getting some peace eventually as time passes, as she mentions in the email. Yet, what I want to say is that the feeling of guilt that has been trained into us since childhood doesn't just go away. And I'm not saying this just to give you bad news. There's tons of good news as well. There's ways to work with it. But if we don't work with it, it doesn't just go away. And removing your mother doesn't make it go away. It's inside of us. That's why this work is also applicable to women whose mother died, passed away. Because you still feel that crushing guilt, although your mother isn't even around anymore. It's within. And that's why this work, ultimately, has nothing to do with your mother. And it's all about you. You know, if you come working one-on-one with me, we're not really going to work on your mother. We're working with you. It's you that is doing the work. Despite of your mother, she can keep doing whatever the hell she wants. The work is yours and yours alone, is inside of you. I'm going to give you an example from my lived experience of how guilt patterns still affect my life, even after removing my mother. Okay, so just recently, like literally last week, my kids and my husband wanted to go out for a meal, and I didn't, which is unusual because I usually really love doing that, but I wasn't feeling well. I really wasn't feeling well. I was in the middle of my cycle, and all I wanted was to stay like inside, possibly like in a cave would have been brilliant. So I truly wanted to stay at home. And I said that, I expressed that, but they were so wanting to go that in the end I caved. What was behind that decision? It wasn't me being selfless and really wanting to have my family being happy. It was guilt. Because I felt rotten for spoiling their fun, for being a burden. And if I could only be different, they would have fun. And so because of all of this, I did not express my need fully. Because of that guilt pattern that still can get triggered in me. And also the shame at the feeling of being a burden for them. And I was seriously really not wanting to go out. So it was like a really uncomfortable feeling in my body. I really needed to stay at home. And yet that guilt didn't allow me to express that. Now what happens then? Then I got seriously annoyed. Because when you don't realize that guilt is what has made you behave in a certain way, other things come in. So not to feel that guilt and shame, annoyance, entitlement. My husband should have known better. He should have understood me better. Maybe even my kids should have known better, which is horrible, I know. But that's what comes up. Okay? There's no judgment in that. That's what happens. You cover it up with entitlement, with judgment of others, with blaming others, and we can get caught in it. And so I was caught in a little bit of that for a while, and during the car trip I was quite upset and annoyed. And then I caught it. I realized, oh, it's the guilt pattern. Oh, that's what's happening here. I could have expressed my needs more and my family would have totally understood, but I didn't, because that guilt blocked me from doing that. And so we spoke about it. I spoke to my husband about it, and he obviously understood all of that. This is an ongoing conversation. It's not the first time we've been through this before. Patterns like that get triggered. So once we spoke about it, I actually was able of having a very good experience, because we did. We were in the car at that point. We actually did go out, and it was lovely in the end, because I was able to catch it and turn it around. But that's just an example of how that pattern is still there. I haven't spoken to my mother in over 2 years. I do speak to my grandmother, and she does her best to trigger guilt every single conversation, but it's a low contact, and we're very far away. We don't live in the same country. So despite having them removed and despite the work, this pattern can still get triggered. So it's really important that we do the work. And when we do the work, they get triggered, but we're able to catch them. And that's what happened. It took me a little while. It took me like about 10, 15 minutes, but I caught it. And something that would have been a disastrous afternoon, possibly fights with my husband, my kids upset because they felt I was off and such, actually turned out to be perfectly lovely because of catching it. And that's not because I'm so great. I don't catch it all the time. It's just to say that's the work, okay? It's to share my experience to tell you. It's still live in me. It still gets triggered. It still happens. It doesn't just blissfully go away the minute you remove your mother, and hopefully peace will come and hopefully you'll stop feeling this way. No, it doesn't happen like that. It doesn't just go away unless we put in the work. And even at that, the work is not to make the guilt go away. The work is actually to really become very accepting and compassionate towards ourselves of the full range of emotion that we're feeling that makes us human. And then from there. So whether you are no contact or you still have a relationship with your mother, and guilt is the glue that holds it together. So if you're feeling all this guilt all the time, like, as I said, as I shared, I am. And I definitely have, very intensely. It is important to address. The first thing to accept is that no matter what you did or you currently do, your mother is what she is. You can't fix her. It was never your job to save her. And you're not responsible for her. I really want you to hear that. You can't fix her. It was never your job to save her. And you're not responsible for her. She is an adult. If you can do the work, so can she. It is her choice to be where she is in life. Nothing to do with you. My mother is miserable. Her life is really miserable. She's alone and it's miserable. I don't need to go into details. It's her choice. It's not my responsibility to fix her life for her. She's an adult. She can start doing the work. And at any moment, she can turn it around. If she doesn't do that, that's her choice. And that's not being bad or being selfish. That's just the way it is. You are being uncomfortable. You are choosing to go into challenging emotions. You are choosing to do the work. So can she. And if she doesn't do that, that's not your job. It's not your baby. You have your own life. The other thing to understand that is really, really important is that you have done nothing wrong. The feeling of constantly being doing something wrong comes from a consistent training of your system from a very young age. It is a trigger pattern. It's not an inherent part of you. You are not faulty. You are not wrong. You are not a person that feels guilt all the time just because that's how you are. And your system can be retrained. That's the good news. We are getting to the good news. Okay? You can retrain the system. And to retrain your system, it is important to start acknowledging your own emotions, to start gently getting to know yourself and your emotional world, your inner world. That's where it all happens. You have been so focused on your mother's emotional state from the very beginning. She made sure of that. Now it's time to feel into your own emotions, the full range of them. Meaning when you feel a wave of guilt, acknowledge it. When you feel a wave of sadness, acknowledge it, and so on. And also the good, like, no, there's no good and bad emotions, but the ones that feel less uncomfortable, let's say, like if you're feeling blissed out, if you're feeling happy, acknowledge it. There's a lot of guilt that goes with feeling happy. I know when I do feel happy, when I have a moment when I'm like, wow, things are really going well, guilt comes in because I don't deserve it. There's this underlying belief still that I don't deserve it. And then my mother is unhappy and I'm happy. I should be guilty. I should be feeling guilty about this because, I mean, who am I to be happy when she's unhappy? And again, it's her choice to be where she is. But the wave comes up nonetheless. So feeling these emotions doesn't make you bad. Makes you human. And a human that has been through experiences. It's part of your life experience, but it's not you. Okay? So by beginning to get in touch with your emotions and dropping the resistance that comes from feeling like you should not feel that way, like you're faulty because you feel that way. So by dropping all of that, you can start learning to self-regulate. And self-regulation is not suppression or distraction. Okay, self-regulation doesn't mean, oh, I feel this pang of sadness and I want to cry, but I'm going to stifle my tears because I'm self-regulating. That's not it. Okay, that's suppressing it. Or I'm just going to sit in front of Netflix for a while. That's distracting. Okay? Self-regulation, it allows you to feel what is present and live in your system and ride the wave. It allows you to put some space between you and your emotions, meaning you don't get swallowed up by them anymore. And you can begin to offer yourself the comfort that is needed at those times. You give yourself the space to experience and feel what's present without crumbling. And you also give yourself the comfort that is needed. Okay, and there are practices that you need to learn in order to be able to do this. This is not something that happens overnight, okay? This is not just a concept that you hear once and then from now on you know how to do that. It's a training of the system. And I'd be lying to you if I tell you that you can snap your fingers and there you go. It doesn't work like that. But you can train it and train it and train it by practices. There are somatic practices for that. There are the breath is a potent tool of self-regulation, one that we use constantly. I use constantly in my life. It's like it is actually my number one go-to, together with some somatic practices. But like, if I had to give you just one thing, breath. Do nothing else but that. Work with your breath, feel the breath, be with the breath, be present with your breath. There's many ways that you can use your breath as a tool, as a powerful ally in self-regulating. And also journaling. Journaling is a powerful practice when done with the intention to understand yourself more, to get to know yourself, and to allow out what is otherwise stored inside. Okay, so somatic practices, breath, together with journaling, that these three things in together can make for a very powerful combination of tools to use in your everyday life, really. But you can only use them in your everyday life if you practice. I always go back to the same example. It's like if you want to run a marathon, if you've never run a day of your life, you cannot run a marathon. You need to start practicing running every day, small distance, and then increasing a little bit, and then increasing a little bit until you can get to run a marathon. You can't do it from overnight, okay? And that's the same with this. Another really important part of dealing with guilt, like every other wave of uncomfortable emotions that comes up on this journey, is finding the right support for you. So one-on-one work with the right guide for you is extremely important, as well as finding a support group. So one-on-one work and a support group. And it has to be a support group that understands your experience and caters for daughters of narcissistic mothers. A specific women's circle where you can safely share and begin to retrain your system to feel safe. If the container isn't the right one, there is the risk to re-traumatize yourself and reinforce patterns of shame and guilt. And I have been in those containers, and oh my, I never want to be in those containers again. So the right container is very important. As you've heard me saying many times in this podcast, I've been in the right containers and I've really shifted incredibly. But I've also been in some that were not right, and oh my, the experience was not very nice. So it's really, really, really important to pick your, if it's a therapist, a coach, a guide, a mentor, whoever you decide to work with one-on-one, a combination of all of those, and also a women's circle. And why women's circle? Because I know it's challenging to be in a bunch of women when we have been suffering from mother wounds, but that's where the healing happens. You cannot heal in the middle of a bunch of men. I know that sounds easier. It was easier for me for a very long time to relate to men than to relate to women. But that's not where the healing happens. So a women's circle, it's a relational wound that can only be healed relating with women and gently and slowly getting to feel safe again with women. And another thing, the last thing that I want to say that is very important, is to be kind and compassionate with yourself when you feel guilt or any other wave of uncomfortable emotions. That is your mother energy inside. Okay, that divine mother, we can call it, or mother energy, you can call it many ways, but it's the same thing. It's the mother energy that is inside of you, and you can learn to access that, to mother yourself. You can tell yourself that it's okay to feel whatever it is that you're feeling. That's mother energy, because that's what a mother in an ideal world does with her child. If her child is crying or if her child is upset, or whatever, it's okay to feel that way. A comforting hug, and it's okay to feel that way. That's mother energy, and that's what we haven't received. And so to open up the pathways to receive that energy, you can do that with the mother energy that is within you. And that again is something that you can learn. I had to learn that. I didn't know how to do that at all. It had never been modeled to me, obviously, by my mother and nor by my grandmother or any other woman in my family. So I had to learn to do that. And I had mentors, thankfully, for that. And also a lot of my own experience in it. And that makes a massive difference. So it's okay to feel guilt. And then when you are being held by that mother energy within you, then you can start exploring and get curious. Why am I feeling this guilt right now? Where is it coming from? Is there a lesson in this for me? And allow the space for yourself to feel while the mother in you holds you. And when you learn to do this, you can start shifting patterns very powerfully. And this is the work that we do. This is the work that we do in the one-on-one program. This is the work that we do within the circles. And that is a big episode. There was a lot that I had to share with this. So again, please reach out, share your experience. If you have questions on this topic, I know it's a big one. There's going to be more episodes on this, I'm sure, because as you know, it's such a big thing. It's such a big thing and it impacts us all, really. So if you're feeling alone in this, I can tell you for a fact you are not alone in this. Every woman I'm talking to, guilt is one of the main things, the main pains. And it has been for me. And as I mentioned, it still is. So reach out. My email is always in the description of the episodes. Share your experience. Ask your questions. Remember that it's not necessary that I share your emails in the podcast. That is just when women allow me to do that. That's wonderful and we share that, but it's not necessary. You can reach out to me and it's confidential all the time. So that's to make it very, very safe for you to reach out. And also remember that the self-love guided practice is still available and you can access that. That's free. So again, the link is always in the description of the videos. And that's really, that is a tool to start opening up to receive that mother energy within you, to start training your system that way. So I invite you to, if you haven't already accessed that, to do so, because it is potent and it works. And yeah, that's it for today. I have a lot of news. I have a lot of news coming up. New offerings that are going to come up shortly, but I'm not going to share them just yet. I'm going to, wait another little while. So stay tuned for what's coming. And I'm going to wish you a wonderful week and lots of love. Bye for now.